I want you to imagine your favorite picture book. Can you see it? You're holding it in your hands, feeling the spine creases from years of opening and enjoying. The pages might be a little dirty from over-enjoyment. There could be some wrinkles. But as you open that cover, flick through the first page, the second, and keep flicking through, I want you to stop on your favorite illustration in that book. You got it? What power does this picture hold? What does it make you feel, and could it change the world? I know, it seems like a big ask for a picture book, but Dr. Chloe Killen thinks picture books are the perfect place to start to make a big change. Chloe, good morning.
Oh, hi, Kaya.
What's your all-time favourite picture book?
Oh, I have so many. It was really hard to actually think about just one. One that I always return to, and I've loved ever since I was a child, was Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak.
Yeah.
And we actually, my partner and I have a copy each. His has a hand-drawn illustrations in it, and the spine is definitely broken in both of them. That's how much they've been loved.
What does it speak to you? What do you love about it?
Yeah, so I think that the story is such a beautiful one about a child kind of, you know, exploring their own identity, separating from their parents, going on an imaginative journey. And there's this beautiful six-page section in the middle where there's absolutely no text, just a bunch of wild creatures and the key protagonist, Max, having a wild rumpus. And I think it's such a beautiful invitation to actually get the reader to imagine the things that are occurring, to bring life into that picture book. And it's always just stuck with me.
Yeah. Why do you think that picture books do hold such power?
I think because they're speaking to such a young audience, you know. They are, we're talking to children and who have very limited, I think, experience of the world and understanding of media, but still experience, you know, really big complex things. And picture books are such a beautiful medium to actually have text and illustration and to unpack complex ideas in a easy to digest way, I guess.
Can it really change, like, how we see the world and our view on things?
I think so. I think that a lot of picture books now are trying to talk about environmental issues, for instance. We just got this beautiful picture book that's all about seaweed and how important seaweed is in terms of basically powering the planet and as a carbon capture system and all sorts of different things. But also, you know, making children feel like they're not alone, that they're experiencing things that are universal to human nature, I guess, but also, showing us a larger world than the one that we might inhabit too.
How do you think that the pictures do this, you know, separate from the words as well in a kid's book? Like maybe take that conversation a bit further.
Yeah, so you can have like a picture book which just has illustrations. It's sort of like illustrated text, basically. But I think that the most evocative picture books are really ones that where the pictures tell one story, the text tells one story, and pictures tell another story, and they both sort of weave together and create a third, more complicated understanding. You know, it's they work symbiotically and they reveal multiple sides of the same story. Some can even have ironic elements or subversive elements. Yeah.
There is a point, though, in all a young reader's life where we're encouraged to ditch the pictures and just head to the words. Is that a problem sometimes?
Oh, look, I think, I mean, I'm a fan of all types of books, obviously, but I do think I am hearing that, you know, young kids when they go to school are often quite heavily encouraged to move straight onto chapter books. And while I think that's fantastic for literacy, I don't think that we should ever really leave the picture books behind. I think that it's such a unique medium and it shouldn't really be thought of as just a baby's or a child's medium. In fact, there are some amazing picture books for readers of all ages. They're called picture books for older readers. Mm. So I like that they don't actually put a limit on how old you have to be to read them. But yeah, they deal with really complex ideas like depression or anxiety, racism, you know, all sorts of different things. And they're perfect for older readers to be able to explore these big concepts in a safe space.
Yeah. Where do graphic novels fit into this?
Yeah, so there are some amazing graphic novels that have been made in the last sort of 10 years or so, especially in Australia as well. Sean Tan has illustrated a beautiful book called The Arrival, which is actually a wordless picture book, and I think it's 128 pages long, and it's about, you know, the story of somebody, a migrant basically, coming to another country and sort of finding friendship and community and so on. Matt Otley is another one who's written an amazing book that has multi-dimensional elements to it. So it's called Requiem for a Beast. It has a CD of classical music, so you can really immerse yourself in that journey of this boy who's going through, self-growth in far north Queensland. I think that there are some really interesting tales to be told, but they're certainly not for children, like not for young
yes.
kids.
How are you taking this idea of, you know, the power of picture books and putting it into real life? What work are you doing, Chloe?
Yeah, so the work that I do is really about how are messages actually created? So how do people sort of come up with ideas, communicate with each other, and work in a complex system in order to actually share and impart ideas and so on and so forth? Looking at picture books in particular, and how picture books kind of fundamentally shape our experience in the world, and the connections that we as readers have with authors, illustrators, but also the larger sort of system. Booksellers play such an important role, this kind of stuff too.
Yeah. Are you doing some work with the Darkinjung Local Aboriginal Land Council as well? Tell me about that.
I am, yeah. So more recently I've actually been working with the New South Wales Government Saving Our Species program, which is a fantastic program with a really lofty goal of securing threatened species in the wild for the next 100 years. So they've got a lot of work to do. And we partnered with them and also the Darkinjung Local Aboriginal Land Council to work at the Urimba Creek with the Urimba Creek community, focusing on two particular threatened species. So the first one is the magenta lilypili, which has a fancy name, Syzygium paniculatum, and the second one is the tranquility mint bush, which is Prosanthera ascania. That's a bit of a tongue twister. but just to kind of show people what's actually available in their backyards, you know, that we have so many beautiful threatened species that if we understand what we have around us, then we can actually work towards, securing their existence and also our own as well.
And it's a different way to start conversations, especially when we're using scientific terms and there's cute and beautiful flora and fauna that we can create artwork around. How else could you see picture books being used to have big conversations?
Oh, absolutely. I think that it's really fundamental that we try and break down the barrier between traditional science communication and, you know, just conversing with each other, really. So when we went to the Central Coast, we took people on a walk, you know, just a little walk and talk. We had a beautiful smoking ceremony with the Darkinjung Aboriginal Darkinjung Elder, Gavi Duncan, and we ate some food and then we made some art, and it was really just like a beautiful community moment of people getting together, sharing their stories, sharing ideas, and really understanding that we are deeply connected to a much larger system, you know, much larger ecosystem. It's not us versus nature. We are part of nature. And I think that if we have those types of stories embedded in picture books, for instance, it just really taps into our humanity and our connection with one another.
Yeah. Chloe, great to hear a little bit more about this. Thank you so much for telling us about it this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Dr. Chloe Killen there. She is a communication and media scholar at the University of Newcastle, looking at the power of picture books.